CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
You're listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
You know, they say a lot of good things come in threes. You know, there's, three strikes you're out, three times a charm, trinities, how great things come in threes, triangles. We could go on a whole tangent about triangles. Today, I am talking to a friend of mine and classmate of mine, Kalia, who is currently a dance student at the SFU School for Contemporary Arts. We had a very interesting conversation about dance as an art form, but also as a form of spirituality and body-spirit connectivity within Indigenous cultures, something that is greatly highlighted by her 2025 winter ascension piece that she had choreographed at the school. Just last winter. We get in much wider topics like current decolonial efforts in modern day post-secondary institutions, and what does decolonizing really mean within academic institutions, especially from a current Indigenous youth perspective. This conversation was so fruitful that we actually had to split it into two parts to get a bountiful and absolutely complete harvest. A lot of great stuff, a lot of laughs, a lot of chin stroking, a lot of head scratching, and a lot of smiling. Kind of like you're looking at the horizon of a very prosperous and a promising road. If that were a film scene, I would use our next song to score it. So here is Spirit Child by Willie Thrasher.
Spirit Child, where you going to? We'll be right back.
right. Willie Thasher is a Canadian Inuvialik musician from the Northwest Territories. I think he's quite a unique pick for today. I've been trying so far with this show to showcase mainly like recent artists and contemporary Indigenous music to sort of, you know, drive home my main principle of the whole recontextualizing Indigenous people into the modern day through many channels of music, dialogue, art. But I think that picking this track is quite, there's a lot of importance to it. There was an album that I'll look up right now. In 2014, there was a compilation album that had been released entitled Native North America Volume 1. It showcased folk, rock, and country music by Indigenous artists in between 1966 to 1985. Thrasher's track Spirit Child is the fifth track on the 34-track compilation album. I bring this up because it's 12 years and I'm still waiting for Volume 2. More importantly, I'm waiting for several decades of Indigenous music to be addressed for. And I know it goes without saying that certain songs not being included in a compilation album, that doesn't dictate their validity, but it really shows how uncertain and how unbalanced infrastructures of artistic showcasing for Indigenous artists, especially in the modern day, are just so, like, it's a creaky floorboard type structure and something that I thought was completely different from when I was a kid. Progression is never linear, of course, especially when you put in policy, especially policy governing bodies of a nation, especially when you're governing the Indigenous bodies of said nation. I often ponder my reasoning for going to art school. Okay, you gotta understand me. I get it. It's art school. I get it. It's easy. I get it. Just talking about how you feel. Listen to what you do. Listen to what you make. Make what you do. Make what you will. But we can't deny that these are all still historical institutions that have colonial power, colonial benefit. And these are harder facts to ignore in our day-to-day life as, you know, living in sort of the response to the 94 calls to action by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, more specifically, many calls to action that were ignored and kind of just sat with. These are things that are changing every day. These are things I'm noticing every day. And these are things that I think about every day. Futurities that I think about every day. And most importantly, in times like this, I'm thankful for classmates like Kalia, fellow Indigenous students that may not have, you know, a geographical, regional, cultural connection to you, but can have a sense of solidarity within the navigation of colonial academic institutions and upholding those legacies. And I guess seeing what they do with them. So I'm very excited to have a dancer here today. I'm excited to see what kind of things we get into in the realm of the many realms that we've explored these past couple weeks here on Manukmi. So, Kalia, would you like to introduce yourself? Anything you'd like to share with my guests? Maybe what you're studying at SFU? Anything? The floor is yours.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm Kalia. I'm from the Penelicut tribe. Grew up on the Nanaimo territories. That is Vancouver Island. And right now I'm studying contemporary dance and also Indigenous studies at SFU. And that's all good fun. So,
well, that's incredible. how did you get into dancing? More specifically, was there like a specific type of dance that you started with? I know personally, I started off doing like weirdo, like child hip hop dance lessons at a local church. That was me. So what is your first form of dance did you interact with in your life?
Yeah, so I started in ballet, which I did forever. I did some other things, but that was, I think, the main one that really infiltrated my life, which is a thing. It's great.
Is the main thing I hear about ballet is that it consumes your life.
It does. It really does. I actually started when I was really young, and I just loved it so much that I decided to do like a pre-professional program where I did it all day, every day, instead of going to school. But I still did online school,
Okay, good.
kind of.
You had to hit the goalposts
I swear I'm educated,
at least.
kind of. But yeah, I did lots and lots of ballet, right up until I came here. I was also doing contemporary dance, of course. It's kind of it grew, it wasn't as common when I was young, but it came more and more into the world, I feel. But I was in a youth company, Nanaimo Contemporary Ballet. So we did like a little showcases. I actually learned a lot from being a part of that because I got to work with guest artists and learn about choreography and improv,
That's incredible.
which was super great, and really helpful for what I'm doing now, I think, as well. With the Nanaimo Contemporary Ballet, we did commission work as well, so we got to work within the community.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, one thing that like really like hooked me on, I think, where I am now, was we worked with Ailelem Design House, which is organized by the Good family here. It's Nanaimo. We did like a little fashion show kind of with them. They made us these headbands, and I was like, oh my goodness, dance and culture, how could they? No, I was like, no. Yeah,
I know what
really.
you mean. I know what you mean.
It really, yeah, because finding that sort of like new integration of like contemporary dance and this indigenous storytelling was super important to me. And so that's why I was like, I gotta look into this. I gotta research this. This is like going to be my thing forever, I think.
When you're talking about the how you went from ballet to contemporary, that got me thinking how, like, I guess in a sense, ballet and contemporary are like yin and yang. Ballet, of course, is like this deeply historical, very strenuous, very taxing on the body, very strict. Contemporary, I mean, from what I know from interaction with contemporary dance and the few forms that I have had the chance to, it's very much like the opposite. Of course, it's contemporary, it's more free form. But I remember knowing that a lot of the contemporary people that, like contemporary dance people that I know, had a history of ballet. So I always find that quite funny how, like, you come from this very strict world, and I guess you become so, like, wanting of, like, this new contemporary space, which makes sense to me. And it's also just. It made me giggle every time. I'm like, I keep seeing the same faces. Oh, you're in the tutu, and now you're in like the gray jumpsuit, leotard getup they're having you put in. Like, but yeah. So I guess you kind of touched on that a little bit, and I, of course, I guess corroborated your claim on that one too. But how did like ballet impact how you see dance and like your relationship to dance, as that was kind of like your introduction.
I think about this a lot, actually, because we do ballet in the SFU dance program. It's mandatory in first year. And a lot of people who come to the school, actually, their ballet training is not like mine. Some people are more like hip hop based, or they've taken like only a couple classes in ballet, and they don't have like the vocabulary that comes with it, which I almost like feel like originally I was a little bit judgmental of, because I was always taught that like ballet is the foundation you know, like
Yeah,
you have
that's
to
what I'm
know it,
saying.
know everything. But I think I quickly let go of that idea because I'm seeing all these like beautiful dancers and they don't have any ballet training. So I think, yeah,
I
it's
guess it's
interesting.
sort of like impacted. You had a certain mindset coming from that world, and I feel, and you going into this other space kind of diverted you from that. That's really awesome. And I guess this goes into my next question, because almost like a film reel, if you would say. I'm imagining you seeing all these people with the varied backgrounds of dance and all being beautiful dancers, and that impacting. Coming from like this ballet foundation, now going into contemporary. Let's talk about the piece of yours that I had some time seeing you develop and perform the many times. Your piece for Ascension, All My Relations. Do you want to talk about it? I pulled up the description that you wrote for, and I just wanted to read it out if that's okay.
Oh, yes, please. I actually was looking for it and I couldn't find it.
I literally, for any sort of information, I just Google search. Like, my Google just like immediately knows what I mean when I press like A. It's Ascension SFU 2025. But yeah, it reads, informed by personal experience and ancestral knowledge, this choreography regards and expresses reciprocal and ecological relations with the water, land, sky, and ancestors. The choreographer utilizes the incorporation of the drum and a movement vocabulary inspired by nature and Coast Salish visual arts to explore the indigenization of contemporary dance. Do you want to speak on sort of like the process, or I guess information or inspiration, I mean, in deciding to do this piece, and kind of like before school really started, what made you want to do a piece like this for Ascension?
Yeah, for sure. I started being interested in the inclusion of Indigenous storytelling and ancestral knowledge into, like, as a form of creating pieces for performance, just because I was interested myself in like learning more. I was taking some Indigenous studies classes online in high school, and they encompassed like oral storytelling, you know, but like not very advanced. I think the courses were lacking a
Yeah.
lot in a lot of aspects, but
Yeah. Because especially I feel like a lot of those courses aren't, I mean, for us necessarily.
no,
It's quite
yeah.
baseline.
Tune in Thursdays at 8 p.m. for the 60-minute stage dive, CJSF's only show focusing on screamo, metal, punk, and other noisy sounds hosted by myself, Jeremy. Each week, I will showcase a new selection of loud music from Canada and across the globe. So if you're finding CJSF is just too quiet for yourself, make sure to check out the 60-minute stage dive. That's Thursdays at 8 p.m. only on CJSF 90.1 FM and CJSF.ca.
First year at SFU, when we started learning about dance history, which is in the first semester, and good stuff. We had a really brilliant teacher who actually is no longer at SFU, but her name is Alana Garricky. And the first unit we focused on was Indigenous dance histories and indigenization of contemporary dance, which obviously I was really into.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't even dance. Put me in there.
Yeah, like, I'm like, hello? Okay. It could be a whole class by itself.
Girl, wave that prerequisite. Let me in there.
But yeah, oh, it was so good. And that was where I learned about the local company, Raven Spirit Dance, which is, you know it? Yeah.
Oh, I was just about to tell, I was going to leave this for another part of the interview, but I wanted to let you know that SFU was doing, because they just had their powwow on, I'm so bad, Saturday. It was on Saturday. Yes. There was a, before the powwow, to prepare for the powwow, they did a powwow dance class on the mountain. Yes. And I went, and it was with Nyla Bedard. And she was doing, at the other point of the year, she was doing like these classes at Q7 Studios near Maine. She does this other one called Powwow Practice, where it's kind of more like a intermediate kind of like novice one where anyone can come in who are Indigenous. And like, yeah, she just basically asks people what they want to work on, and then we work on that for dinner. But yeah, I just want to tell you that because in case you ever want to go, it's very fun.
I do want to go. Yeah.
And my calves are burning, girl. So
oh,
come on down.
I have like beasts for calves. You
okay, yeah. I used to think I did. And then I was doing a crow hop and I thought differently. but yes, you were talking about Raven Spirit Dance.
Yes.
And what you were learning about in the class as well.
I did. Yes. I read a paper that Michelle Olson wrote that was about the indigenization of contemporary dance. And I was like, that is such a cool concept. And then I went ahead with a research paper where I interviewed her, met with her, and I was like, this is such a cool concept. Like, I could totally get in on that. And so that's kind of been a bit of a mission of mine. So in terms of my choreographic process for all my relations, I was taking a lot of inspiration from that company and everything that I had learned thus far. I also was sort of piggybacking off of a work that I had done in the spring prior to the performance, which was called Everything Under the Sun. And that one was performed in Emergence, which is our first and second year dance show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it was a little bit of that, which was ideologically the amalgamation of my research that had occurred prior to that. And then a little bit of extra research was put into all my relations as I was taking on more Indigenous studies classes and choosing to do a concurrent degree like with an Indigenous studies major. And actually that summer I was in a really cool class called Indigenous Ethnobotany with Bob Benjinga. That one I highly recommend. We did so much cool things. They offer it in the spring and they offer it in the summer. And I took it in the summer, but the summer is it called intersession?
Okay. So that makes it shorter?
What it did was it made the lectures 6 hours long. So we had once a week a 6 hour long lecture.
But no one can sit for that long.
But no, we did nature walks.
Oh,
we did
yes.
Plant identification out in the woods. And we did some tree planting. That was fun.
That's so freaking lit. That's so
cool. Like, we did lots of stuff. So the 6 hours was almost plausible. But it was also a little bit crazy.
Overkill.
Yeah, I think so.
That's really freaking cool how you took a lot of research from different things. I'm kind of interacting that right now with my research project. Long story short, it's about the many social and structural ills of urbanization on like Indigenous lands and specifically how it impacts queer Indigenous people and trans Indigenous people and Two-Spirit people specifically. And I'm kind of like, wait, but I have a paper about Two-Spirit healthcare. And trying to think, like, I'm trying to remember, like, what papers I read and, like, what I could use and that sort of thing. And how, like, I think right now in post-secondary, I think I can relate to this now, like, kind of having, like, a body of research or, like, having, like, I forget what they call it, but a discipline or, like, a practice with, like, what. I don't want to say like genre of what they're researching, but like basically like that. And it's, I can only imagine how fruitful that feels for you and how putting it to this dance and into your choreography that is so satisfying. And that, and hearing all this and then thinking back on the dance, it's very illuminating and very intriguing. The audio you used was majority nature sounds. I remember they were done by Miss Danny James. Shout out. How has dance kind of aided into like the mind, body, spirit kind of interconnectivity that is very much like honored and like fostered within Indigenous, I mean, thought, community, many forms of pedagogy. How is dance, and I guess we can talk specifically on like the case of how you're choreographing All My Relations and like other things that you've done and sort of your whole arc of going from ballet to contemporary. How has dance aided into your like mind, body, spirit connectivity?
That is an interesting question. I think just like relating back to what you're saying about the incorporation of the nature soundscape, a lot of my work, I'm trying to like build a world that's like tangible and where it would exist on the land, like in nature, but it is presented on the stage. Just because when I am making the dance, I'm like really in my imagination world where there's like, there's trees everywhere and I'm like navigating that and there's the grass and I'm touching it and it feels good. So I am trying to like emanate that feeling through my choreography. But ideally, you know, I'll start eventually making pieces that like exist, like that are like site specific in the forest or something. That would be really cool. Yeah, it's all vibes right now.
I guess instead of saying like running on fumes, we're running on vibes. Okay. Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections.